It is a joy to be with y'all again. I consider it such an honor and truly is a delight in my heart to be able to think about y'all, to pray for y'all, and to say, God, whatever way that you want to declare and have your word received, would you just use me as a vessel for that? So it really is a delight. Thank you all for the honor. I have to say happy Father's Day again, as Pastor Jeff has already so kindly already addressed. Happy Father's Day. Lots of meat out there. I was surprised walking through going, I don't think I've ever seen walking through a church lobby so much beef jerky. I mean, that's a lot of different jerky, y'all. And I was thinking, it's hard for me to pass this up, so I won't. I'm going to offer a dad joke as I get going, okay? So if you know it, don't shout it out. Let's wait for the punchline. But how many tickles does it take to make an octopus laugh? 10 tickles, right? 10 tickles. Okay. It's bad. It's supposed to be a bad dad joke. Yeah, it's okay. That's part of the glory of it. Dads, you have an arsenal of it. Praise you. Bless you. I love it. And my kids can't get enough, right? Well, yeah. Well, today, it really is an honor to be able to dive into God's word. I don't take myself very seriously, but I take Jesus very seriously. And I hope that today that we would do the same. And so we're continuing in our series on encountering Jesus, encounters with Jesus. And my hope for us is as we spend time today, once again, and back in Mark, that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that would be soft to receive Jesus. I really believe that the more we get to know Jesus, the more our lives are transformed and are different. And so I'm going to read you from God's word today, and then we'll pray and jump in, okay? So this comes from Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 46. If you have your Bibles, you can please turn there. You can look at the screens as well. And this is what it says here. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up. He is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. It's the word of the Lord. And so let's pray together right now. Father, as we are here right now engaging with your word, Lord, we ask that you would open the eyes of our hearts that we might behold wondrous things out of your law and out of your word. And there's, as we declare that out, there's nothing greater to see in your word than your son, Jesus. And so we long to see Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. Move in power in this place. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you today. And so may each person who hears today receive the word and receive Christ today. We pray this in Jesus' name and all God's people say, amen. Now, back in April, I had an opportunity to share from Mark. It seems that I just can't get away from Mark. Like, I love the gospel of Mark, y'all. And we shared about a different scenario as it dealt with a paralytic and four friends who brought their friend, this man who could not walk, to Jesus, right? And at the very beginning, I asked the question. I'm going to ask the question again today. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus, y'all? But I'm also going to ask another question today. Who are you? Who are you? You see, I think those are two questions that we have to seek out answers for. That in seeking out answers for these questions, we get to know more of truly who God is and what he's done for us and what he's doing for us, what he continues to do for us. But also we'll get to know of who we are and our purpose and why we are the way we are and what we need. So as we dive into this passage, I just want to encourage you to continue to ask the questions of who is Jesus and who am I? As we take a look at this passage here, in the context of where we're at, Mark, the gospel, according to Mark, it deals with good news. That this is and in fact, all the gospel accounts is about the good news of Jesus Christ. And I think about this because we live in a world where there's so much bad news, how desperate we are, right, to receive good news. Aren't we all longing? Like, I want good news in my life, right? And so here we are taking in the gospel according to Mark, and it's good news. And Jesus has been on the scene. Jesus, who is unlike any other that's ever, ever come before. He loves people, both on the margins and those who also think they are upright and know what they're doing. He loves people from all over. He has compassion on people. He walks forward with those who are broken and who are lost. He seeks them out and cares for them. In fact, I'm reminded from Luke 19:10 that he says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus is like no other. And he's been declaring out good news and bringing good news to the people. So here we see that Jesus is on mission. It says here, it starts off that he was coming to Jericho, but he's going to Jericho to go through Jericho because he's going to Jerusalem, to a holy week, where there in that holy week, he would suffer and he would die upon a cross. He would die a death for sinners on their behalf, that through his life, through his death, that others who have been living in sin, those who've been separated from God because of their sin, would experience forgiveness, would experience a reconciliation or a repair of relationship with God because of what he had done there. So he's on mission. But one of the things you need to know about Jesus as he's on mission is that there's always things going on that he has his eyes set on doing. There's always people that he has his eyes set on that he wants to see them being saved. So as he comes through Jericho, it's not just to go through Jericho, it's to meet with a man in Jericho. Now Jericho, a big trade city, illustrious, a lot of money there, a lot of different people that are there. And what you see here from God's word in 46, as he went through Jericho and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples in a great crowd, is that at this point, his fame had reached a high point. And he had a lot of people who said, hey, I want to follow after you. So more than just his 12, he has this group that want to follow after him. Then a gigantic crowd that is very interested in knowing more about what Jesus is saying and doing. Yeah. But here enters in a character. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. As he was leaving and exiting the city, there is a man who's a blind beggar, and his name is Bartimaeus, and he's on the side of the road. And this is what we know about this man. And the Bartimaeus means the son of Timaeus. And I think about the importance of names and how names hold purpose. That when we named our kids, that each of the names that we gave to our kids was a name of purpose. So a few of our kids aren't here with us today, but I was thinking about our oldest daughter, Kayona. It's based off a Hawaiian name, which means God is gracious. Because we wanted her to be a living out a life where the grace of God would just exude from her. That she herself would be an example of the grace of God. So names hold purpose. And so Bartimaeus here, the son of Timaeus, is sitting by the roadside. And this is a man who has been on the outskirts, a man who has been just discarded by society. That this man, because of his state of being blind, his work was one of sitting by the roadside and asking for alms. Please, would you have mercy upon me? I need funding in order to eat, in order to survive. I need food from you, and I can't provide it for myself. And so therefore, he's on the side, and you can imagine, and we don't know how long he's been blind, but you can imagine the state of his being. That day after day, he asks for money. He can't see people. He can hear people. He can hear the crowds. He can hear the discussions of what's been happening around the areas. But there, he's sitting there blind, begging, please have mercy. Please have mercy. Please have mercy on me. It's easy at this point, and it's probably easy for those in that society and culture as well, to view him as a person without a name. As a person who's just known as the blind guy. And yet I want to remind us here today, this man's name is Bartimaeus. He has a name. And that whole significance, he is an image bearer of God. He's somebody's son. Fathers, if you hear this today, I hope it perks up in your heart a little bit. That's someone's son sitting there on the side of the road. So can you have mercy on Bartimaeus? That's someone's child there. So there, Bartimaeus is there on the side of the road. In 47, it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, begin to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So you can imagine a scenario. He's there on the side of the road and he hears this great commotion coming down the road. And he hears in the great commotion, this is Jesus of Nazareth. And what you do know about Bartimaeus is that as he's been on the side of the road asking for alms, day in and day out, he has heard the commotion about Jesus. That Jesus has come. Jesus has come to preach good news to the poor. Jesus has come and he's done miraculous healings. That the dead have even come to life. This is Jesus. So he's sitting there inside the road. Jesus of Nazareth is coming. And so he makes out a declaration. Son of David, have mercy on me. I think we need to stop for a moment and think about this. He doesn't say, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. Which would have been right. Like, it is Jesus of Nazareth, okay? But what he says is, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is an understanding that this is more than just a prophet of God, more than just a priest of God, but the one that had been foretold in 2 Samuel chapter 7. As David says, I want to build a temple for God. God, I want to build a temple for you. And God says, hey, no, I have better plans actually than that, David. You know what? One of your offspring will sit on the throne forever. One of your offspring that will come will sit on the throne, not just of this kingdom of Israel, but of the world forever. I'm going to make a promise to you, this covenant to you. And this man, Bartimaeus, he understands that. And as he's been sitting there blind, his eyes, his spiritual eyes, had already been opened to Jesus. That although he can't see here, he sees here. He sees in his heart, this is the one who was to come, the promised Messiah, who was to come to break the bonds of Satan, to break the bonds of sin and death, to set his people free. This is him. So he declares out, Son of David, have mercy on me. The declaration of have mercy on me is eleison. And that declaration of eleison is dealing with mercy, but also you could use the word compassion in that. Have mercy on me, have compassion on me. And when we think about compassion, compassion comes with an illustration. It deals with a wrenching of your gut. That when you experience compassion for another, it's a gut-wrenching experience. That haven't you had that before when you've seen somebody go through a loss? Or seen somebody that's suffering or hurting in their lives, right? And when you come near and you draw near to them and you walk with them in their lives, it's not like as if you're unaffected. But if you really choose to walk with them, really, really choose to live life with them, your gut wrenches. And you feel it in your being. So you can even say and declare here that what he's saying to Jesus is, hey, Son of David, the Lord, the true King of Kings, do you feel me? Do you feel me? What's interesting next in 48 is that the response of the crowd was this. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Why is it that the crowd's response and reaction was rebuke? Like, this is fascinating. Haven't the crowd seen and heard about Jesus' miracles and what he's done with the lost and the broken and those who couldn't see, those who couldn't walk, those who couldn't breathe, the lepers, their skin being healed? Haven't they seen and experienced much of this? And yet their response is to rebuke the man that's sitting on the side of the road who could not see, crying out for mercy for Jesus? There's two responses I felt from this. One is anger. How dare you keep this man from Jesus? He is desperate for Jesus. He's broken for Jesus. How dare you? There's anger. And then the other side is conviction. I've been that man. I've been that crowd. There have been times in my life where I have said, hey, clean yourself up. Get better. Do better. And even to myself, I've declared that to myself. I've got to be better and do better in order for God to love me. In order for Jesus to really want to be with me, I've got to live my life differently. And yet, what we see over and over and over again is don't clean yourself up. Believe and trust in Jesus. Repent and believe in the gospel. It's not get better, do better. It's do you believe, do you trust? How desperate are you? How broken are you? I'm fascinated by the crowd and I'm convicted by the crowd. How about you? How about you? There's a worship pastor that I followed for years. His name is Bob Coughlin. And he shares in a story in one of his books about a time where he went through a 2-year period of being anxious and being depressed. And he was navigating a lot of this on his own. And so finally he came to a trusted friend, a trusted advisor, and said, "Hey, I'm pretty hopeless. I feel hopeless right now in my life." And his friend's response, he says, "I'll never forget it because it was what led me towards a place of evaluating where I was truly at. And then it drew me right to Jesus' feet." He said, "You know, Bob, I think the problem is not that you're hopeless. It's actually that you're not hopeless enough." He said, "It's not that you're not desperate. You're not desperate enough. Because if you're truly desperate enough, you would have been talking about these things a lot earlier. You've been seeking out help. But yet, in all of this, you've been hiding. You've been holding it to yourself. You've been living out a kind of a half-truth, half-lie life. And it's not what Jesus wants for you. I don't think you're desperate enough. Because desperation takes you to places that when you face obstacles, the obstacles you meet make you press in harder towards Jesus. And that's what you see here with Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus meets this incredible opposition by the crowd. And the crowd is a great crowd. It describes a great crowd. How many are there? We don't know. But it's a lot more than Bartimaeus, right? So you can imagine Bartimaeus crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd saying, "Stop, be quiet." But do you know whose voice was louder at that point than the great crowd? Bartimaeus' voice. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And if you hear me screaming that out, it's because I want us to receive that as it was. But even then, my voice doesn't give it justice. In fact, I'm going to invite us to something today. I did not plan for this at all. I want us, if you guys would join me this, to say, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And I want us to all say it out together, if you're willing. You don't have to, okay? Just know this, you don't have to. But on the count of three, I'm gonna say 1, 2, 3, I want you to say, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So 1, 2, 3. "Son of David, have mercy on me." That, but even more urgent. That, but even louder. Because he was screaming at the top of his lungs to get Jesus' attention because he so longed for Jesus. He knew what Jesus was about. He knew that if anybody could have mercy on him, it's the Son of David. And I need Jesus. Nothing can keep me from Jesus. The obstacles that are there, they cannot keep me from Jesus. I cannot see Jesus, but I'm going to get to Jesus somehow. And in verse 49, you see what happens here. And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." Jesus, who was on mission to the cross, was on mission for Bartimaeus. And as he goes, he hears Bartimaeus' voice and he stops him because the cries of the desperate, the cries of the broken, the cries of the lost who are in need stop Jesus where he's at. He's interested in you. That today, if you are broken or lost, if you're desperate or far away from God, or you feel like I've sinned so much, I've just messed up, God can possibly want me. He knows that. And if you're desperate for him, if you're just to cry out to Jesus today, it stops Jesus in his tracks and his eyes are upon you. Because he's been looking for you. He's been searching out for you. He's been longing for you. And so here, he stops and he says to the crowd, "Call him," which I think is incredibly ironic. The very crowd that said, "Hey, be quiet. You know, shut your mouth." He tells that same crowd, "I want you to call Bartimaeus to me," in fact. And it says here, "And they called the blind man, saying to him, Take heart. Get up. He is calling you. This is convicting, but it's also very encouraging. You know, if you're in a place right now where you're like, man, I feel like I get in the way of bringing people to Jesus. I get in the way I live my life, and the ways I discuss about how you need to clean up your life in order to get to Jesus. I have very good news for you today that Jesus can change your heart. Jesus can still use you to bring you others to Jesus. Now, he is interested in heart change, okay? Let me say that. But here in this great crowd, they are being used that this man would come who cannot see and to go to Jesus. Take heart, be encouraged, get up, he's calling you. In verse 50, it says, and throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. So this man who had this cloak on him, which we don't know how many worldly possessions this man had, right? You don't know. But you would assume that every possession that he had was valuable to him. So valuable to him. And yet he's sitting there on this cloak, and when he heard them say, hey, Jesus is calling, go ahead and get up, he throws off his cloak with full abandon. I don't need this more than I need Jesus. He throws off his cloak, he jumps up, and he comes to Jesus, y'all. How many of us in here today are still holding on to our cloak? How many of us in here today are still clinging on to something, saying, this is more value to me than Jesus? Because what we see here, he says, I don't need this holding me back. What I need is to be with Jesus. Jesus is the most valuable thing in my life. So he throws off his cloak. He comes to Jesus in verse 51. And it says, and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? I love this. I love the intentional intimacy and relationship of Jesus, God the Son, on display. Does Jesus know what he wants before he asks it? Yes, yes, Jesus does. How does he know that? Because he's God, right? He knows what he wants. But yet he interacts with him in engagement, in relationship, in intimacy, and saying, hey, listen, what do you want me to do for you? I love that about Jesus. That continues to lean in and press in on relationship here. And the blind man, Bartimaeus, says to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. Now, you might assume at this point, rabbi being a common term for teacher, Jewish teacher of the law, that he had forgotten about who Jesus is here. But the term rabbi here can be used also as rabboni, which is often used in connection with declaring out more than just a teacher, but God himself. Rabboni, let me recover my sight. You know what's interesting here? He doesn't say, let me be rich. Give me more shoes. You know, more beef jerky. Please, more beef jerky. He doesn't say any of that. What he asked for is incredibly ordinary. You know how everybody else can see? All these people can see. I just long for my sight. Because in the normal order of life, a vision is there. And I want to live as one who has a vision, one who can see, one who can stand and walk the path, one who can work and labor, one who can contribute in my family. I long to be able to have vision for that. So he asked Jesus for that. And in verse 52, it says, and Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Jesus, I want to see. Rabbi, I want to see. And Jesus, knowing his heart, knowing that he is a man that trusts Jesus, truly trusts Jesus, sees Jesus as his king, as the Messiah, right? As the breaker of sin and death. The one who can restore all things. This Jesus, Jesus looks to him, sees his faith, and says, your faith has made you well. I want you to go on your way. You know what he doesn't say here? Hey, earn a little more money, and then you'll be made well. Get a better job, and you'll be made well. Be a Republican or a Democrat or whatever, and be made well. He doesn't say any of that, does he? He says, your faith has made you well. Your faith, your trust and belief in who I am has made you well. You're desperate. You're so desperate to the point that you're like, I don't need any of this. My cloak, I'm throwing it off. I need Jesus. Nothing will stop me from being with Jesus. So I'm going to declare all the louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. I need Jesus. Your faith has made you well. How many of us in here today are still living in a place, or maybe right now you're in a place where like, I believe in Jesus, but I've backslidden, or I don't know, but are in a place right now that you're going, it's faith plus something else that equals my rightness with God. It's faith plus something else, or maybe not even faith at all. It's all these other things in the world. And what I want you to see from here is that it's Jesus plus nothing that equals everything, y'all. Jesus plus nothing that equals everything for us. This is the case here with Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is given sight, yes, but he had already been given a greater sight in his heart. And what you see here is the greater sight in the heart, brings about this healing for him, physical healing. But then the immediate response, I love this, is that he just jumps up, right? He recovered his sight, he jumps up, and he follows Jesus on the way. It isn't immediately he got up and he invested in a new 401k. Immediately he got up and went to the nice restaurant that he'd been hearing about all those years. Immediately he got up and he decided he was going to do his own thing. You see a man who has been given spiritual sight and then engaged in this miraculous, I can visually now see, I can physically see, his first desire, his greatest longing was to be with Jesus. So when Jesus said, I'm heading out of Jericho to go to Jerusalem, guess where Bartimaeus goes, y'all? Right with Jesus. A life of being transformed by Jesus leads to a life of discipleship in Jesus and with Jesus. I know that's something that's incredibly important here. Make disciples, go make disciples, right? Be a disciple, make a disciple. And there's this reality here that a person who's been transformed by Jesus then wants to be with Jesus. So many might, and here, and I know it was true for me for so long growing up in high school, where I said a prayer. I said, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. So be my Lord and Savior. But then there was no life transformation. There was no desire to follow Jesus after that. There was no surrender to Jesus. I was saying this because I was scared of death, scared of eternity, and yet I had no desire in my heart to really follow and be with Jesus. And what I'm saying here today, fam, is that when you experience a life transformation with Jesus, when you're desperate for Jesus, it leads you to a life where it says, I want to be with Jesus. I want to go with Jesus wherever Jesus goes. I want to spend as much time with Jesus as I can because he is everything to me. And that mark of being with Jesus means that you end up smelling like Jesus. You end up talking like Jesus. And people end up recognizing the fruit of your life with Jesus. Amen? Don't we want that, family? Christians should be the most attractive people in the world because they've been with Jesus. And that when people interact with you, when the lost interact with you, they should say, oh my gosh, something's different about you. You're not pretentious. And or if you are pretentious, you ask for forgiveness. You admit that I'm a sinner and I need repentance and I need Jesus to help transform me. And you recognize that these are people of grace and mercy and compassion, and they're pouring their lives into other people, and they love the lost, and they're not scared of hanging out with the people in the margin. Don't we want to be people like that? It ends off here. And then it moves to the triumphal entry of Jesus as he heads towards the cross. In the beginning, I asked, who is Jesus? Bartimaeus believes Jesus is the Son of David, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the true Messiah, the one who had been prophesied to come, who was finally here, the rescuer, the savior of sinners. Who am I? Maybe as we've gone through this passage, you said, I'm all of these people that are in here, other than Jesus. I'm all these people. I've been the person who's tried to keep people away from Jesus because I told them they need to clean up in order to get better. Because in my own heart, I believe the same thing. Maybe today, and I'm hoping this is true, that you see yourself as Bartimaeus. One who is absolutely desperate for Jesus, that you have a fire in your heart saying, nothing will keep me from Jesus. And I know how broken I am. I know I'm broken. But I need Jesus. And the cloak, nothing is more valuable than being with him. And I'm going to make audacious asks, believing that he can provide for me. That even though I have these ailments, I'm going to ask for healing, and maybe he heals me now, but I know this, he will heal me. Oh, he will. Because he's the savior. He's the rescuer. He's the one who has gone upon a cross to die for sinners, thinking of each one of us by name, bearing God's wrath upon himself upon a cross. And he dies there as your substitute, as a substitutionary atonement for you, atoning for your sins. So that your sins would not be held against you, against a holy God. That when a holy God looks upon you, and because of your faith and trust in Jesus, he sees Jesus' record on your behalf. I hope you trust in the Jesus who is victorious over sin and death. And on the third day of being in the grave, he rose, conquering sin and death. Affirming the reality that all that he had said that he was coming to do, all that he said that he was, he truly is. And he has done it. And he's coming back again to make all that is wrong in this world right. The restoration of all things. This is Jesus. I hope that today, as we close out, that each and every single one of us in here would affirm, would draw in close to Jesus, believe in Jesus. See yourselves as Bartimaeus. See yourselves as the crowd. And run to Jesus in desperation. Cry out to Jesus in desperation. Give me sight, Jesus. Open the eyes of my heart and open my eyes. Open up my life for you, God. And in all that I do, I want to be with you. May we be those people today. Amen. Let's pray. Son of David, have mercy on me. Father, we declare that out today. With one voice, we declare to us, Son of David, have mercy on me. What's holding us back, though, Lord? What holds us back from declaring it even louder? Lord, forgive me. Yes, I feel desperate. There are times I'm not desperate enough. But I need you, Jesus. I need you, Savior, Son of David. Have mercy on me. Have compassion on me. No one has greater mercy and compassion for me and for us in here than you, Jesus. No one has felt the gut wrench of our lives more than you, and you've experienced that in fullness upon a cross as you bear the consequence of our sin there, the wrath of God poured out upon you on our behalf, Lord. So, Son of David, have mercy on us. I pray that today would be a day of change for many of us in here. That if we have not been in places of desperation, that finally we would move to a place of saying, I'm so desperate for you. And the things that have been holding me back, I throw it off. The things that I counted as valuable, I throw it off in order to be with you. I need you. I trust you with my life. I trust you with everything. Lord, I pray that many of us, all of us in here would make that move. And that as a result of this week, what would happen is we wouldn't just go back to our normal lives the same. That wouldn't be just us going back to our jobs the same or to our lives as parents the same or lives as students the same or whatever it might be. But that our response would be the one of Bartimaeus. That when he got up, when he got his sight said, hey, listen, first thing I want to behold is Jesus. And where I want to go with my sight is to follow Jesus wherever he goes. May that be us today. Holy Spirit, make a way. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen.